بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ملء السماوات والأرض وملء ما شاء من شيء بعد، أهل الثناء والمجد وأحق ما قال العبد وكلنا له عبد. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، أيها الإخوة المسلمون، the brothers and sisters, we'll be continuing inshallah talking about the manners in Islam or behavior. We taught the first lecture about how to behave ourselves with our Lord and then with our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. تكلمنا عن الأدب مع الله والأدب مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And now, inshallah, I would like to mention about others kind of behavior the Muslims should practice it in his life. Before that, I will say it again. Manners is an important part in our deen. The scholars, the ulama, they talk about manners while they talking about aqidah. It's a part of our belief. Therefore, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala في العقيدة الواسطية قد ذكر مسائل الأخلاق من ضمن أصول اعتقاد أهل السنة والجماعة. That Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned the manners, the good manners, the behavior of the Muslims he should practice while he talking about the aqidah, the belief that should Muslims have, the correct belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And he said in Aqidah al-Wasitiyah, in the end of the Aqidah al-Wasitiyah, the sign of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and he mentioned أنهم يأمرون بالصبر عند البلاء والشكر عند الرخاء والرضا بمر القضاء. That أهل السنة والجماعة order themselves and the others to have patience when they have a hardship, and they should be thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah twists them with a blessing, with ni'am, and they should be satisfied with anything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to them. And also وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِمَعَالِيَ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنْ سِفْسَافِهَا. They order people to have the higher quality of manners, a good behavior, good manners, and forbidding people from bad behavior. This is a sign of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, a sign of our i'tiqad and our belief. The scholar mentioned it while they're talking about aqidah, about the i'tiqad. And they mentioned while they're talking about the rules in Islam. حينما تكلم العلماء عن الأحكام الشرعية نصوا على باب الأخلاق، ومن ذلك فعل الحافظ الإمام ابن حجر في بلوغ المرام، فقد نص في آخر كتابه بلوغ المرام في الكتاب الجامع على أبواب الأدب والأخلاق. ذات الحافظ ابن حجر in his book بلوغ المرام, in the end of the book, and the book is talking about halal and haram, the rules in Islam, the fiqh matters, he mentioned the akhlaq, the manners in Islam. In that particular book, he mentioned the end of the book, a special chapter about husnul khuluq, the good manners. You see the scholar talking about the good manners while they're talking about aqidah, while they're talking about fiqh, while they're talking about the general manners, what we call it, kutub al-adab. And when you look at the book of sunnah, like Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawood, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, all the book of the hadith, you will find a special chapter talking about the manners, the behavior of the Muslims. Why is that? Because the Muslims, he can say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. He will appear witness that he is saying, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. He might believe in it. And one of the main signs, the clear signs about this shahada, about this iman, is the way he behaves, the way he acts. This is another kind of way you witness your Islam, by your behaving, by your practicing. I will give you an example in our life. One brother, and I'm giving this example, and I'm not accepting this example 100%. Because it has something I don't like. And I will mention what I don't like in this example. This brother, he used to go to work out to gym, which is dangerous for brothers, young brothers, to go there. Well, there's a lot of fit in there, so it's not recommended to do it. Sometimes it could be haram to do it. But that brother, anyway, he was there. And he was praying one day Asr, and one lady, she's from this country, she asked him, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying. She said, what this prayer? He said, I'm Muslim. She said, I have seen you coming here long time ago. You never looked at me. She's saying the story. She said, sometimes I find out you was looking, but what I look to you, you turn your face, you turn your eyes. Why? Why? I don't mind to talk to you. Even I don't mind to go with you outside. So, he said, that brother, you know what his answer? He said, to be honest with you, I wish to go with you, to be friends. I wish that. She said, okay, what's stopping you? I don't mind. His mentality is like this. There's no problem. As an Arab country said, هو راضي وهي راضي وانت مالك يا راضي. يعني she accepts and he accepts. What's your business? Nothing to do with it. Let them do whatever they want. This is the mentality of Western turned to the Eastern country. Anyway, then he said he has a lighter. He lighted his lighter and said, this is stopping me from going with you, from dating you. This is stopping me. She said, I couldn't understand. He said, I cannot. This is stopping me. Then he left. She said, after that, I start asking about Islam. Then I realized he meant that I'm fled from the hellfire. If I go with you, that means I am putting myself in a situation, it might take me to the hellfire. And she said, this is the reason I became Muslim. And she's telling the story after she became Muslim. And she said, wallahi, I don't know his name. I don't know where he is. I have never seen him again after that. But she's praying for him. He will come in the day of judgment. He didn't know about it. He didn't know about her. And he will come in the day of judgment saying, Ya Allah, why this? From where I got this reward? From where I got this hasanat? He didn't know. Then he will be told that just because you behave, your actions, it might guide peoples, others to Islam. It's something when we're talking about manners. I don't know what I talk, what I shouldn't, what I can do. This talk is very general talk. I will mention about behaving ourselves with our parents. Because I'm talking about ourselves before I'm talking about our children. Because everyone he should know what is what obligation on him, what the rights on him to do it before he asks the other person about his rights. I will give you a story. I will never forget this story. I've been repeating it many times, many places. أذكر أني أردت أن أقبل يد شيخنا الله يغفر له ويرحم الشيخ ناصر الألباني. I want to kiss his hand. And I have never kissed anybody's hands in my life. It's not in my culture. Even my parents. It's not in our culture. And even our Sheikh, Sheikh Abbas, I never did it. But Sheikh Al-Albani, I know that he says some narrations about Sahaba they did. And the Sahaba did that. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he used to kiss Al-Abbas hands and foot. And he said, "Oh my uncle, are you okay with me? Are you angry with me?" Ali ibn Abi Talib كان يقبل يدي العباس وقدمي ويقول يا عمي أأنت راض عني أأنت راض عني. Then the sheikh, he pulled his hand. I said, "Sheikh, I know that you say it's allowed to do that. Why you don't let me to do?" Then he laughed and he said in his accent, in his language, he said, "شو لما سحب يده منعني أن أقبل يده قلت له يعني لعلي يقبل أنت تجيز هذا قال شو أنت بتعمل واجبك وأنا بعمل واجبي. You're doing what you have to do and I have to do what I have to do. That's what Sheikh said. You have to respect the scholar and I have to be humble not to giving you my hand. I have to take it from you. So you do what you have to do and I have to do what I have to do. That you're right, I have to respect the scholar and the scholar he should be humble." So when I said talking about wife, she should know what she should do to her husband before asking what he should do to me. When I'm talking about to the husband, he should know what he has to do to her wife before asking what's my rights on my wife. Or what's my right on my son? Or what's my rights on this imam masjid? What's my rights on you as a sheikh? Or not on a sheikh? Or what's my right on this governor? Or whatever. Ask first about what you have to do. I believe the people who lived in this country, they learn, don't ask your government what did for you. You have to ask yourself what you did to your government. That's right? Yeah. It's a common sense, which is something right. Because some of the manners is common sense. Anyway, parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make obeying them, to be kind to them, to respect them, an obligation just next to ordering us to worship Him only. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbidden us to say أف, which and the scholar said if there is anything less than أف it will be mentioned in the ayah, but nothing less than it. It's not allowed. It's forbidden. Haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ. Wallahi, I don't know how to translate this in English. To just give you the meaning, it's an Arabic hard to tell. That you lower your wings with handful to them. If you imagine you have wings and you put it down so he can walk in it, on it, on your wings, with handful. You put yourself down to your mother, to your father. Don't say anything bad to them. Even oof, you're not allowed. Not like what we're having in our society. One brother, he's a businessman here. I don't mean in San Antonio. Just in a place not far away from San Antonio. His father came from overseas. When he came, he called his son. His son said, "Oh, I have a meeting. I couldn't come to pick you up from the airport. I told you, don't come this week. Go take any hotel and I will pay for that. I will see you next week." Wallahi. This is the result from this societies, from this from this life, from the effect of the Western culture around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives the examples about respecting the parents, I couldn't forget the great example, which is Ismail alayhi salam, al-Dhabih. The one Allah ordered Ibrahim to sacrifice him, to kill him. He saw a dream, and the dream, the Prophet's dream, is the truth. Then he asked his son, you know when? Ibrahim spent more than 80 years waiting for son. More than 80 years. Then when he got the son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to take this little boy and his mother to put them in a desert. You know what Mecca used to be? لا هي على طريق الركبان. It's not in the way of the caravans, or there's no people moving from that. It's not a road for that, like people walking, maybe not like Yusuf alayhi salam. They said they put him in the well, and they said there's many people passed away, they might take him. No, that place in Mecca, there's nobody there. No one go that way, because there's no water, there's no لَأَضْرْعٌ وَلَا شَجَرٌ. There's no food, there's no trees, there's no water, there's no animal, there's nobody, nothing. Go ahead, if you go to Mecca, try to go outside of Mecca to see. It's just rock, nothing else. جِبَالٌ سُمْ. There, Allah ordered him to come from the land of prophets, from the paradise in the earth, which is Philistine. From Philistine, where is the rivers, the most wonderful place in the whole earth. From there, to take them, after 80 years waiting the son, with his mother, just to put him there, where they're nothing. La ilaha illallah. Wallahi, it's not easy. Wallahi, it's one of the biggest fitna happened to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then he left them. Then he turned his face. He never turned back. He never looked at them back. He never looked at them again. And his wife crying, screaming, where are you going? Where are you going? But did he say, are you crazy? No, she didn't say that. You know what she said? She said, you're doing this from yourself, from your own, all the order you. He answered her while he's facing north, heading Philistine again. He didn't look at her back. He said, I've been ordered from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then she said, إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيُّعُنَ اللَّهِ أَهَذَا أَمْرٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِكَ أَمْ أَمْرٌ قَدْ أَمَرَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ قال بل أمر قد أمرني به الله قال فما التفت إليها قالت إذا لا يضيعنا الله. We'll never get lost if Allah is ordering. Allah will save us. Then Allah saved them and he raised. فلما بلغ معه السعي. When he reaches in a certain age, he will able to walk. You know, the most wonderful age for your son, when you start walking and you feel like, oh, I have a man just beside, next to me. When he starts, you know, he didn't order him to kill him in the first day or next month or 3 months. You know, he didn't, there's no relationship yet, strong relationship. No, when he starts walking and like a man, Allah said, take him and kill him. Kill him, sacrifice him, like you're killing the sheep. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ. I had a dream that I have to kill you, to sacrifice for Allah. فَانْظُرْ مَذَا تَرَى, what you think? And the asking him not to take his opinion. No, he will do it anyway. But he wants to see his son, what his reaction. What do you think? فَانْظُرْ مَذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي. I want you to test the beauty of the Qur'an. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks, the word is special. The word is special. Ya abati. Look, he didn't say, okay, do whatever you want. No. Oh, dad. He still called him dad, father. In the nice, not only father. Ya abati. Which is a soft word to call your father. If this word, you have to think about it. I was telling the brother about Musa alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered his mother, if she gets afraid, what he should do? Feed him then? Then what? Huh? Musa alayhi salam, you don't know what she did to his son? What she did to her son? What's the word in English? Put him? Huh? Throw him. Do you ever think about this word? فَقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَقْذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. He didn't say, put him in the taboot or ضَعِهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ. فَقْذِفِيهِ فِي التَّابُوتِ فَقْذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. Throw him in the spot. Then throw it. Not put it. Throw it. You know why? Because he's going from her hand to Allah's hand. So you throw it, you put it, whatever you do, don't worry. He will be saved. Throw him. Even if you throw him, Allah will save him. Not put him, throw him. Then, Ya abati, if'al ma tu'mar. My father, do whatever you want. Do whatever you've been ordered. Whatever you've been ordered, do it. This is the obey. How he obeys his father. ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. You will find me among those people who's patient. أخرج الإمام أحمد في مسنده والحاكم في مستدركه وقال حديث صحيح وصححه الذهبي وقال الحافظ ابن حجر في الإصابة إسناده صحيح. That الحاكم narrated in the مستدرك. And he said it's authentic hadith, and al-Dhahabi said too, and al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said it's authentic narration. And Ahmad in the Musnad, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the Jannah. Then he saw in the Jannah a voice, somebody reciting the Quran. He asked, who's this? He was told, this is Harithah ibn Nu'man. Harithah ibn Nu'man. His name is Harithah ibn Nu'man. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فلما سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قراءة في الجنة قال من هذا؟ قيل له حارثة بن النعمان. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم كذلكم البر كذلكم البر كذلكم البر, يعني كذلكم البر يصنع بأهله, يدخلهم الجنة. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, that's what the bir, the kindness. To, he's so kind to his mother, he said, this is the kind. So kind to his parents, so that's what he received, that he entered the Jannah. This the, he will be reward, since he kind to his parents, by Jannah. And Aisha adds, he was the most person kind to his mother. She said, I have never seen two people so kind to their mothers, like Uthman ibn Affan and Harithah ibn Nu'man. You know what they used to do? Aisha said. She said, Uthman said, wallahi, since I became Muslim, I never look at my mother's face and keep looking at her. I always lower my gaze, respecting her. Allahu Akbar. قال والله ما حددت النظر إلى أمي منذ أسلمت. احتراما لها وتقديرا. And Harith ibn Nu'man, he never ever asked his mother to repeat her words. And when she said something to him, he would say, yes, yes. And sometimes he did not exactly what she said. But respecting her, he don't want what he said. When she will leave, he will ask the people, what exactly she said? She said, that's and that. And he will go and do it. He just want, he don't want to say, I didn't hear your. And he used to feed her by his hands. كان يرفع اللقم إلى فم أمه. رضي الله عنه وارضاه. صحابي. And some brother today, because he's praying or mashallah, he has some knowledge, he thinks himself, خلاص, I don't need to be any more kind to my parents. Yes. عن أبي مرة أنه ذكر عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. أبي مرة narrated something amazing about أبو هريرة. By the way, أبو هريرة, he was so kind to his mother. He used to call his mother to Islam. One day she talked bad about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم until he started crying. قال فأسمعتني ما ساءني عن رسول الله فذهبت إلى رسول الله باكيا صلى الله عليه وسلم. He go crying to the Prophet. He said, I call her for Islam. She talked bad about you, Ya Rasulullah. Then the Rasulullah prayed, made dua for him and for her that she became Muslim. He said, I went back running, so happy to tell her that the Prophet he made dua for you, and you know that dua in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ليس كدعاء أحد. When he make dua for somebody, Allah accept his dua. Then when he reached his house, his home, his mother's house, he saw her getting ready, putting her khimar. She said, my son, I accept shahada. Allah accept the Prophet ﷺ dua. Then he said, I went back to the Muhammad ﷺ crying, but this time crying from happiness that she became Muslim. Do you know what Abu Hurairah used to do with his mother? كان مروان يستخلف أبا هريرة على المدينة في أيام الحج. When Marwan go to Hajj, prince of Medina, he used to let Abu Hurairah to be the prince in charge of Medina. وكان أبو هريرة يسكن بذي الحليفة. He used to live in a place, ذي الحليفة. وهي has a home, كان له بيت بجوار بيت أمي. He has a home just next to his mother's home. Every day, كان كلما خرج من بيته, كلما خرج من بيته, وقف على بيت أمه وقال السلام عليك ورحمة الله وبركاته يا أمه رحمك الله كما ربيتني صغيرا. Every day he go to her house, her house, stop front of her house to say السلام عليكم ورحمة الله, my mother, may Allah to give mercy to you as you raised me while I was little. قال فتجيبه أمه فتقول وعليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته كما بررتني كبيرا. Then she will reply saying وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته, my son, as you've been kind to me while I'm older. رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. أبو هريرة, he didn't offer Hajj until his mother passed away. Do you know why? Because he don't want to leave her. He said, I cannot leave her going Hajj and leave her alone. I cannot. And he didn't offer Hajj until his mother passed away. ما حج حتى ماتت أمه برا بها. رضي الله عنه وارضاه. أبو حنيفة. Just examples. To compare ourselves to our parents before our sons to us. Abu Hanifa, great scholars. Great scholars. He was amazing to his mother. He used to carry his mother and take her from place to another. Abu Hanifa رضي الله عنه ورحمه. كان يستغفر لشيخه حماد كل ليلة ويستغفر لأمه. Every night he used to make istighfar for his Sheikh Hamad and his mother. And he used to give 20 dinar sadaqah for his mother. Not to give her, to give to the poor, and the reward would go to his mother. Once, there is a scholar, his name Amr ibn Dhar. But Abu Hanifa more knowledgeable than him. But his mother, you know, the mother, she still knows Abu Hanifa was a boy. She didn't trust him as the yani, mufti. As many mothers might, she didn't trust her son to be sheikh, you know. She couldn't accept that. Then she used to ask Abu Hanifa to go to this man. He took her to Amr ibn Dhar, And many, many times, when he asked him his mother's question, he said, I don't know. Then Abu Hanifa, he will tell him in secret, so she didn't get feel yani sad. And Abu Dhar, tell Abu Hanifa again, and he was the one who gave him the answer, and he will tell his mother. La ilaha illallah. He never said, oh, my mother, I'm busy, I don't have time. Khalas, this is the hukum, this is the rules. No. Radiallahu anhu arda'ah. Radiallahu anhu arda'ah. When he was in the jail, rahimahullah, ضرب فشجت رأسه فبكى فقيل ما يبكيك قال والله إني لأعلم أن أمي لو رأت تلك الشجة التي برأسي اغتمت والله إني لأبكي لغمها. He was injured in the while he was in the jail, was hit by something in his head and it was bleeding. He was crying. They said, why are you crying? He said, I know when I come back home, my mother, when she will see this mark on my forehead, she will cry and she will be sad. And I'm crying for her crying. I am sad that she will be sad. Wallahi, I'm only worried about my mother. I'm not worried about myself. Yes. One of the scholars, scribe Haywa ibn Shuraih, قال ما رأيت رجلا قيل فيه ما قيل إلا رأيته أنقص مما قيل فيه إلا حيوة بن شريح. One scholar said, I used to hear about people things, but I have never seen a person he's exactly as he was described except شريح بن حيوة, حيوة بن شريح. Just one story. He used to teach his students, using his students, and his mother come to him and ask him to go and feed the chicken. تأتي إليه أمه في الدرس وتقول قم فأطعم الدجاج فيقول سمعا وطاعة يا أمه ويترك الدرس ويطعم الدجاج ثم يعود للدرس. She ordered him to go and feed the chicken. Take the food, the left food, to give it to the chicken. Then he will leave the class and he will go to give the food to the chicken. Then he will come back and sit down, continuing his class. Who can do this today? Not giving class, not giving lecture. If she asks you to do anything, but you want to spend a couple of time, hours with your wife, with your children, with your business, what you will do? Al-Fadl ibn Yahya, one of the great scholars, he was in jail with his father and they don't let him to warm the water for his father. His father is so old, he was so sad, he didn't know what to do. It's very cold weather. You know what he did? There is a container for water. He used to take with a small bowl. It's two containers. He take the water in the bowl and he would put it above the light. Shema. The candle. It's only candle. And he put the water above the candle until it came warm. And he would put it in that container. And take another. And all the night he was like this until the Fajr came. And his father, when he woke up, he find the water warm. La ilaha illallah. This is the way he used to treat his father. Ibn Sirin, the great scholar, Tabi scholar. He said, my brother used to spend night walking, making qiyam al-layl. And I used to spend the night أكبس رجل أمي. يقول قضى أخي ليلته قائما يصلي وقضيت ليلتي أكبس رجل أمي والله ما يسرني أن ليلتي بليلته. ما معنى أكبس رجل؟ هذه بالإنجليزي مساج مو بعربي يعني. طيب He said, my brother, he used to spend the night making Qiyam al-Layl, praying all the night. And I spend the night making massage to my mother's foot. Wallahi, I think my nights better than his nights. My nights is better than his nights. Talq ibn Habib, one of the great scholars. He always, when he sees his mother, he kisses her head. And he never, ever walk in the roof while his mother downstairs. He said, I feel shame that I will be above her. He said, I couldn't. I'm sorry, I get confused about the one who spent the night. It's Muhammad ibn Munkadir, not Muhammad ibn Sirin. Mus'ar ibn Kidam, one of the great scholars who narrate a lot of hadith, Sahabi Sufyan, one of Sufyan al-Thawri's friends. Mus'ar ibn Kidam, his mother, she was so old, he used to carry libadul laha, some like garments, like it's made from wool, from the sheep wool. He used to put it, she used to pray on it. He used to carry it, then carry his mother, then go to the masjid every single pray. Take her to the masjid and put that garment for her. She will pray on her in her garment or her sajada. Then he will go and give the class. And he will go and give the class or spin or pray a masjid. Then he will take her back the same way home. Every single pray. One who also the scholar, his name is Abbar. He was a righteous person. كان من أزهد الناس في زمانه. He asked his mother couple of years, asking his mother to give him permission to go to Qutaybah ibn Muslim ليسمع منه الحديث. لقتيبه ليسمع منه الحديث. I asking her to give him permission to travel to Qutaybah to listen hadith from him. He's old scholar, he might pass away, he will never get chance to hear from him. And she never gave him the chance. And he obeying her, staying with her. Until she passed away, then he went dark after she passed away. He went to Bulagh or Balagh. It's a place in Iran. When he reached there, he said Qutaybah was dying, passed away. And they start blaming him. Oh, you see, you missed it. And he said, no. قَالَ إِنَّ هَذَا ثَمَرَةُ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ أَكُونَ بَرًّا بِأُمِّي. He said, this is the knowledge. The knowledge, it means I have to be kind to my mother. Not to leave her. If I want to talk about how the Salaf Salih were kind to their parents, I will never finish. We can spend the whole night today just talking about this. But let's look at our life, to ourselves. Ask yourself, what if your parents are still alive? That means you still have two gates to Jannah, to enter Jannah. If one of them passed away, you have one gate. If they passed away already, you have to make istighfar and dua for them. So ask you, what last time you call your father, your mother, you visit them? Ask yourself. And let's see our children today, how they're dealing with their fathers. One brother, his daughter called the police to put him in jail. She dealt with her mother, and this is in Houston, in Ramadan, in the 27th of Ramadan, he was in jail. Because his daughter and the mother, they called the police, because he entered in 27th of Ramadan watching TV. He said, that's haram, you're not allowed to watch, at least respect this day or this month. Still arguing, he pushed the mother, the daughter, 911. It's very easy. And he spent, I think, 3 days in jail. Just see, we pushed here. Well, where is the respecting? Where is to be kind to your father? Brother, the scholars, they couldn't look at his mother and his father. And now the son talked like, face to like, shoulder to shoulder. He talked to him like, they are equal to each other. You know why? Because this Western culture affects in our self. We adopt their cultures. And you have to know some culture, they are against our deen. In this case, we don't accept it. I'm not saying there's no culture, there's culture. A Pakistani culture, a Palestinian culture, Egyptian culture, American culture, Afghani culture, Bangladeshi culture. Even inside the same country, different kind of cultures. I'm not saying there's no culture, there's a culture. But there's a deen who rules these cultures. We didn't have here son he can talk, or daughter can talk to her father like something, like she's talking or he's talking to his friend. No, there's respect. If you go to the husband or wife, we don't have in our deen the wife, she thinks she's talking to her husband like, what he can do, I can put him in a jail anytime, divorce him and take half of his money. Yeah, she dealing with her husband in this background. We don't have also husband dealing with his wife and like she is slave. Like one brother, he was telling his sister, his wife, and they called me. He said, I have to obey me. If I order to jump from the balcony, you have to obey me. I said, no. You're not allowed to do that. لا طاعة إلا في المعروف. She obey only in the ma'roof. When they talk about manners to the wives first, I will give the example of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he rides with Aisha twice. Running. She was faster than the first time, she was so light, and she won. Then the next time, she get heavy, then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم won. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is equal to that one you won last time, this now we equal. You won one, I win one. You think yourself you can do that? You can, here's your wife. Wallah, if I didn't tell you this hadith, maybe you don't know about it, maybe you think it's something, how come you can do this? It's not a good thing to do it. But he didn't do this in front of other people, as the scholar said, as Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar said, it might be in the night, or where there's nobody was there. They're together. The Prophet ﷺ, when the Habasha people from Habasha came to the Masjid of Nabi ﷺ, they were playing, dancing in the Habasha. And she said, I want to look at him, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ, he put a garment like this, holding it up, and she put her hand on her shoulder, watching them. He covering him.